Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long at 545. Jeff Nowak will join us for Triple Option. And a little after 5:20, Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, will join us, talk about the breakdown between LSU and USC, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL at 6:30 Sunday. And we have our pregame show, me and Jeff Palermo, from 2 to 4:30 at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Bottle Man. Bottle Man, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen, and my condolences again to Bobby and his family, man. So, therefore, we lost out on Keenan and Nwigwe. He feel the physical, but we have Kubota. That young man, now you can feel the spirit.
Hey, go Cadence, Bottle Man. I'm a big Jacob Kubota fan. I watched him play for University of Louisiana. And Mike, I've said this before.
You singing his tune, Bottle Man.
He was Mr. Consistent with the Cajuns, man. Like, he wasn't, like, the flashiest guy, but something that kept popping up throughout the preseason process, and this is something that...
Just stay healthy with him. That's been an issue with
Health
Jacob.
Has been an issue with him because he's missed some bowl games due to some health concerns, too. But, you know, just the consistency of someone like Jacob Kubota. And something that Deuce highlighted, too, Bottle Man, with him was the patient running. Like, yes, he's got the speed, he's got the power that he can put on display, but he lets his blocks kind of develop in front of him, and then he finds those holes and just bursts through. And that's kind of the strength of someone like Jacob Kubota.
Let's see how quick he gets off of the practice squad.
I was elated that he made it to the practice squad.
Hey, my grandson graduated from ULL. He went to, when Leonard went to Ole Miss, I mean LSU, he went to Ole Miss.
Oh, okay.
But you wind up graduating. Gerard graduated from ULL.
Go Cajuns.
I'm a smart man because I tell you this much. Hey, again, I'm a caring person. You've tried the spirit by the spirit. Like Mike said, when you pray, Bottle Man, you're a praying man. I've been a praying man since I jumped out of womb and come out of seed.
There you go, Bottle Man.
Bottle Man, listen, man, we always appreciate your call. Man, you always kind of pump me up, man, because I know you do a great job of getting everybody ready for the season. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you know, Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Mike and Charlie. Hey, look, listen. They got $1 tickets right now for the Tulane game tonight, all right? And I'm not saying SLU is going to beat Tulane. I don't even know who Tulane's quarterback is, Mike. Maybe it's
the redshirt freshman. Darian Minsu will be the starter. Redshirt freshman. He's from the California high school ranks.
All right, listen. Like I said, anybody, the rain's clearing out at 6 on the radar. Tulane tonight at Yeoman. $1 tickets on the secondary market, Charlie and Mike. And look, my upset for tonight, I got North Dakota State beating Deion Sanders. That game's tonight. I got my Southern Miss Golden Eagles beating Kentucky Saturday night. I know all the LSU fans will be bored because they're not playing until Sunday, so they could tune into that. We're going to Buster Douglas them just like when Tyson got knocked out in Tokyo. And I'll say this for the LSU-USC game. I think it's going to be a great game. I think whoever wins that first quarter is going to win the game. I think it's crazy because I'll be honest with you. Look, I'm married an LSU woman, all right?
Well, you better be pulling at least partially for LSU. Time's going to be rough, brother.
My daughters are all wearing purple and gold. My wife, they're all going to be screaming. I got to watch the game no matter what. It's mandatory. I think there'll be more LSU fans over there than USC fans.
I agree with
that.
That
sounds crazy. But that's crazy to think about it, though, Mike and Charlie, because how close is USC, the fan base in Southern California, to Vegas? But, hey, look, the LSU fans are passionate. That's a coin flip game. But, hey, watch North Dakota State tonight, Charlie. I think they can upset Deion Sanders tonight.
Interesting game.
That's going to be a great game tonight.
I mean, typically, Jimmy, we were just talking off air about like scheduling cupcakes for the openers, right? And how, you know, some teams do that. And Lincoln Riley has done that in the past with Oklahoma and USC. With Colorado, you scheduled an FCS opponent, but you scheduled an FCS powerhouse with North Dakota State. And it's a little bit similar with Oklahoma State. They're opening the season against South Dakota State. Like, Oklahoma State's a top 25 team, but I imagine that game's going to be really entertaining to watch over the weekend, too. South Dakota State can play, man. So these FCS teams and the top of the FCS, the best of the best, in, you know, the FCS is going to be going against this FBS competition. I think both games are going to be a lot of fun, Mike.
Okay, I heard the comment that the North Dakota State coach said, listen, schedule whoever you want to schedule game one, as long as they don't have a second Dakota to it, like South Dakota, South Dakota State. And then they catch Colorado with this. So I agree with you, Jimmy. I think this will be a tight game between the two of now. Colorado has the big advantage at quarterback.
My question is Colorado in the trenches, Mike. They weren't very good up front last year.
They got a lot of new guys. Let's see how quickly that meshes.
And North Dakota State can play physical with you, and they want to play physical.
They
with
always
you.
Physical.
Exactly. So that's some, I don't
two,
know.
In a two-quarterback system for North Dakota State, they've always run that two-quarterback system.
Colorado is, I think, a 10-point favorite in that game.
And I take that 10 points.
I'm not touching that, Mike. At least for on Colorado's side, I think North Dakota can hang with Colorado. I think they could potentially upset them. We'll have to see, but
I want
to
see how they match up with Travis Hunter.
Well, Travis Hunter is the ultimate just superstar in college football.
That, you know, my thing is, if I'm North Dakota State, my thing, I am not going to let him beat me.
Well, my question to you, Mike, and I know that you watched Travis Hunter all last year, just like I did. Do you see him as far as the NFL level as a cornerback or a receiver?
I think I would rather him at corner, but I think he wants to play receiver. So I think that's
he sees
what he ends
the
up.
Big paydays that some of his receivers
exactly.
are getting.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think he ends up at wide receiver.
Okay.
But, man, he is talented as a cover guy. But is he electric with the ball in his hands?
Deion's running the wheels off him, though, Mike. I get a little bit nervous for him because he's so talented. But like,
and he's
when you're,
not the biggest receiver in the world either.
And when you're playing double the snaps of everyone else, when you're playing on both sides of the ball.
But he's exciting to watch.
You see that in high school, but you don't see it that much in college. And so hope he can stay healthy because, as you mentioned, he is very exciting.
And Shadir is a really good football player, too. I just hope they can keep him upright. Because last year, man, he got banged around all over the place. Every snap he was getting hit.
Shadir's interesting, Mike, because was he at Manning?
No.
He wasn't. Shadir, from what I've seen from him, he kind of is like, you know, and I think this was also a criticism maybe of Rattler a little bit, the spot throw. You know what I mean? Like where he would throw to a spot, and sometimes it would get him in trouble. But with Shadir, he's got the arm talent, and it was on display multiple times. But I don't know, Mike.
All I know is when you got people bearing down on you every play, you better get rid of it.
No, I get it.
And you saw it last year. They didn't protect him well. And he got beat up.
It was the same thing with Rattler at South Carolina.
Same thing what Spencer went through last year. Now, I think the year before, he got better protection at South Carolina. Last year, he was sort of running for his life on every play. And, man, that puts the quarterback in a real tough situation. So, I'm interested to watch that. I'll certainly watch Tulane tonight as they play Southeastern. But I want to take that glimpse, North Dakota State, Colorado. The physicality of North Dakota State's
there.
Now, I don't know how well they're going to match up in the speed department where Colorado has the advantage.
Yeah, North Dakota State wants to punch you in the mouth. But if you can just run away from every kind of fight that you get, I mean, Colorado has that edge as far as the speed department, as you mentioned.
And at the end, don't you want Sanders with the ball in his hands?
Yeah. Like, once again, I don't think they cover 10 points. That's kind of my early read on it. I think North Dakota State keeps it close. But as you mentioned, maybe potentially Shadir Sanders gets a good drive at the end of the game if he gets the ball last. And Colorado,
I know who I'm throwing it to.
Colorado escapes with all the talent that they have.
Hey, Travis, just run and get open. I'll find you downfield.
Exactly.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of RU Sirius Sports Network, covering the LSU Fighting Tigers right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTille along with Charlie Long and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from the RU Sirius Sports Network covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, we got nothing to do this weekend. You know, LSU playing, and man, it's been one interview after another about the Tigers, but you would get a kick out of this one. We had someone from the Believe Network who covers USC yesterday, and I asked him, you know, what can you tell me about USC's defense? He said, I can't tell you anything. He said, I got no idea what we're going to see from USC's defense. He said, now, I'm a big believer in Deonton Lynn, but he said, I really can't tell you what we're going to see different from a year ago and in so many new faces, especially early in the season.
You know, Mike, they like practice down over at USC worse than Alcatraz. I mean, you couldn't get in there. You couldn't get there if you wanted to. Mike, I think we have a pretty good idea of what we're going to get from him. If that man sends 40 blitzes in the spring game, you know what he's going to do in a real game.
Yeah.
Mike, they love to. They love to. Now, unless he magically changes his philosophy on everything, they love to send interior pressure and then back out from the outside. So, those DJ Chester, both guards, and the tackles are going to have to make sure that they're keeping that inside penetration to a halt, because De'Anthony Lynn likes to show a lot of different things. We might not know from what they've done at fall camp, but Mike, his UCLA tenure is anything. I mean, that man wants to send pressure all night in your face.
The only problem with it, he couldn't take Latu with him to USC.
No, sir.
Okay, so you can do a lot of things if you got that stud right coming off the edge. They don't have that type player.
No doubt.
So I asked him about Bear, and he was like, Mike, your guess is as good as mine. Because one thing with Bear Hamilton, you have no idea what you're going to get out of him. He was a super highly recruited football player. He was not a happy camper at Georgia, so he leaves there. But he was like that in high school. He jumped from one high school to the next, and then he goes to USC last year. I thought he was like average. He wasn't a dominating player. I told Charlie, you know what I do? I mash him right off the bat. I run the football right at him for a couple plays and see how well he handles that. And I think LSU, not that they won't throw the football, but I think we will see a little bit of small ball here. Well, they will try to pop USC in the mouth running the football on them.
No doubt. And I think that they'll do some play action based off of that to get Garrett, you know, in the flash to Mason Taylor. There's a lot of things, Mike, I think they're going to do with. You know, the more than Bear Alexander that I've been looking at is this kid, Nate Shepherd, that came from Vandy. Now, I don't know how much, you know, like he's going to be necessarily their go-to guy here. But, I mean, look, he comes in from Vandy, was productive in the SEC, but I'm with you. Mike, you got to go right at him. I mean, if your offensive line's as good as you say that they are and you have Caleb Jackson, you got to line up and punch somebody in the mouth. I mean, and here's another thing, too, Mike. Lincoln Riley is wanting to get up to the line of scrimmage, run as many plays as they can, and score. They're going to give you the ability to hold on to the football and control the clock. So why not take it? I think it's the biggest thing that you can do is run right at them. Now, Mike, this counter run that they've done with Caleb Jackson, our defense hadn't stopped it. Now, that might not be saying much. But, I mean, Mike, nobody stopped them doing it so far. So I think they're going to line up. I would almost – if you ask me, Blake, what's the first play from line of scrimmage from LSU? It's going to be counter run with Will Campbell getting out in space and getting that second level. And I would run that thing all night long until they stopped it.
The other thing, too, is if you're going to blitz a lot from the interior like you're talking about, and I know Lynn likes to do that, my thing is, you know what I do? I throw the football right over the middle to my tight end. That leaves a big void right over the middle. So, okay, you might get to the quarterback and affect me, and also I might hit that tight end and he's taking off downfield. So, you kind of live by the blitz, die by it, also.
No doubt. And, you know, I thought that Brian Kelly said something very key, too. I mean, that's what Blake Baker's going to do, too. You know, he talked about on LSU Gold this week that, look, we want to be havoc in the backfield. We want to have our havoc rate up. So I think that both guys are cut from the same cloth in a lot of different ways, Mike. But you're right. You've got to attack the middle of the field, too. And, look, I don't think it's just Mason Taylor either. I mean, you've got to go over, and you've got to be able to get them with Kamari and Pimpton, too, because I think you'll go a lot of 12 personnel, and you'll be able to do that. But it's not missed upon me last year, okay, when UCLA and USC matched up. USC had 3 rushing yards, Mike. 3. They could not – so we talked about this tonight. UCLA was an 8-4 football team last year. USC ran for 3 yards on them. So I think that that's a whole different dynamic of, look, there have been defenses against USC that stopped the run and made Caleb Williams or whoever's at quarterback with Lincoln beat them, and I think you've got to attack the interior of Lincoln offensively and defensively. Let's see what you got.
And then going back to the tight end room, Blake, I just wanted to circle back to what Will Campbell had said earlier on in the week, where, you know, he called it the deepest room in the country, but also the most versatile with those three guys, as you already mentioned, Mason Taylor and Kamorian Pimpton, who are expected to play big roles in this first game, but also the freshman Tre'Dez Green, who's going to be hard to keep off the field, where they can, I think, yeah. Campbell said that they can pop, you know, a defensive lineman in the blocking game, but they can also just go over a defensive back and make a big catch. And with Mason Taylor, you know, we've talked to a couple different writers about this, that they think that he could potentially lead the team in catches this year. He's due for that type of season. But also, you know, Kamorian Pimpton and Tre'Dez Green also getting some early run against USC. I think you'll see a lot of tight end usage in this first game, and I think that they can really kind of show early on and prove Will Campbell right that they are one of the best tight end rooms in the country.
They hadn't stopped that neither. They sure as hell hadn't stopped Kamorian Pimpton. And everybody's like, oh, Mac Markway is through Nebraska. Yeah, his name's Kamorian Pimpton is the reason why he left. Look, man, that room's talented. I agree with him. I mean, Tre'Dez Green is your third tight end, and he might be the most athletic dude on the team, man. I mean, he's massive. But I think here's another thing, too, that gets missed in what Will Campbell, I think, said, too, Charlie, is how good they've been in the running game, too. They've right. been so good at this 12 personnel in the running game that's really set some things up for them. I don't know if Mason leads the team in catches. I don't know about that. What I do know is they love getting him in the flat, these little bootlegs that they've been running all camp, to get him in the flat and then Kamorian Pimpton over the middle so that they have multiple options to get them the football.
Blake, one of the things, I know USC is going to try to attack him through the air. So right now, who would be 1-2-3 at cornerback? Because you're going to play a lot of nickel against the Trojans, and you're going to see a lot of three wide receiver sets. And as you brought out, you know, at times I've always felt Lincoln's best teams are when he had a running game at Oklahoma. With a rebuild offensive line, I'm not real sure what's going to happen there. But give us your shot at the top three cornerbacks for LSU when they go up against USC.
Yeah, both boundaries I anticipate to be Ashton Stamps and Sage Ryan. Mike, I think the slot is going to be a little interesting. I think at times Major will bump out in certain situations on what they're trying to do, but I really don't know how much like they're going to do that with him. I think the guy that's been in that slot or what they've called their prowler package has been Jair Brown. Mike, I'm going to tell you something too now. That kid coming out of the slot when he's in the when he's blitzed and he's gotten involved in the running game. All right, now. Look, he's been a little menace. You know that. You know when you're sitting outside in the country and that gnat keeps flying around your head, that's Jair Brown. Okay, so I think that's going to be him, unless something's changed. And from a philosophy standpoint, I think it's going to be him. What they have done, Mike, too. Now I don't know the status of JV and Toviano in these bigger nickel packages. He has gone into the slot as more of a bigger safety type role, but that was so few and far between. But it's been mostly Major Burns in the slot in that star role, or it's been Jair Brown.
Well, we've had Brian Kelly on. One guy he has talked about every time he's come on with us, Kyle Parker. And now he gets his opportunity because of the injury to Chris Hilton, but Kyle's been a guy that, and you can go back to every interview when we've had him on here, he has brought him up and he's talked about how good of a route runner he is and how sneaky fast and quick he is. And he maneuvers well in traffic. From what you've seen in the practice sessions, does that sort of fit what you see in Kyle Parker?
No doubt. Elite, really, really good route runner. You know, what really stood out to me when I seen him is that he's such a willing run blocker, right? When they try to get to the outside or just blocking in general. And, Mike, I know that, look, he's a wide receiver. Why are you talking about him blocking? Mike, there's a lot of dudes that ain't willing to get their hand, get their face mask in there now.
That's right.
So I think that has gotten him on the field, and that's what got him. Mike, I just call it what it is. It's what got him on the field besides Sheldon Sampson. When you needed an X, Kyle Parker might have been the last guy when Chris Hilton went down that you would have thought would be the X. You know, where's Shelton? Well, Shelton has had issues when they run the football outside or throw the ball in the flat. He's not been able to block, but Kyle has. And Mike, for whether right, wrong, or indifferent, what does Brian Kelly preach more than anything? Being fundamentally sound, being in the right spots, doing the right thing. It's why Kyron saw so much playing time in 22. Right? I mean, I don't know if Kyron was your third best receiver. You know, Jarray was better at catching the ball and yak and all that after him in that specific year, but he blocked so well. Mike, I think that he's had a great camp. He's had some drops, though, but he just gets open. You know, who's the defensive end, 13? Braden Swenson called him 7-11 because he's always open, he said. So, I mean, we'll see if this kid can play. He might get some things done.
Real quick, Blake, looking at the defensive line, you know, Coach Kelly was talking about the do-your-job mentality on the defensive front, and that's been kind of the weakness that we've talked about for months at this point. But one guy that seems to have been the surprise so far of fall camp, Glenn West came on and told us about this, was Savion Jones, the defensive end. And Coach Kelly said that they were talking about using, you know, multiple defensive tackles, like 5 defensive tackles, 6 defensive ends, all this different type of stuff. You know, the numbers, they're going to be slotting guys in and out. And he's talked the whole will be bigger than the group of its parts, right? I think is what he basically said. But at defensive end, it seems like Savion's taken a good step to potentially, if he's not the team's defensive end one, he's definitely up there.
No, he's not right for defensive tackle. They made that mistake last year. I think they got it right
and
now.
Coach Jenkins said that he kind of made that mistake.
Yeah, Pete admitted, Mike, I screwed that up. I should have kicked him outside. But, you know, he was a little bit too heavy. And I think, Blake, he's got his weight down. And this might be a breakout year for Savion.
Absolutely.
I mean, Mike, every time that we went to practice and Brian Kelly let us stay for the whole practice, I swear to God, ask anybody that was out there, okay, there wasn't a day that he didn't come away in 11-on-11 not having a sack. Now, you know, people are kind of skittish when we came out here and said this, oh, y'all are BSing because he's going up against Emory Jones.
Emory Jones is pretty good.
To put it, Emory getting beat. That's what I saw. And, you know, so Mike, he's been very productive. He is a lot slimmer too. I mean, come on, he just is. So I think that another thing that's really helped him too is that they've done some overload stuff, and he's had one-on-one opportunities where he's been able to go in and win too. So they've given him a lot of things to work with, and they've put him in the right position. But he's been really good. Him and Emory have really gotten after together this game.
Man, what makes me sweat every opener is special teams. Man, I got to get out the mop when LSU's out there. That has not been a good area for LSU, and it gets a little better as the season goes along. But, man, early on, it's a cluster, you know what. But in the return game, I think that's where hidden yardage is. Can Thomas be that guy that can flip the field for you?
Right. Well, Mike, here's another thing about special teams that not a lot of people have maybe necessarily talked about. USC was number one in the country last year in punt return yardage from a
better cover.
They were number one. They were number one in the country in block punts. They were number one in the country in field goals. They were number one in the country in punt net yardage. Look, I ain't saying they're elite, but when you're in the number one in one category in one specific area, Mike, they blocked 3 punts last year, number one in the country. The kid, Kyron Hudson, who will be on the field on Sunday, blocked a punt. They ran an RPO slant touchdown. That's how they scored so many points. Everybody thought, Mike, last year was just offense, offense, offense. You better go back and watch them. Special teams now, they had multiple returns that were, I think, 20 yards or plus. So I'm with you. Man, please just kick that thing out of bounds. Don't play around with them. Look, I'll take 15 yards of not having the net, but just go ahead and not make him make a big play on you in Zach Rob range.
Yeah, and, you know, with Zachariah, you can see it with him. Man, his eyes get, like, big like half dollars every time that punt's kicked to him. Now, I'm smart enough. I'm kicking the ball to the chuck or out of bounds. I ain't giving him a chance to beat me. I am not going to do it. Now, some people might not like that. Oh, that's just a 35-yard punt. Yeah, if you kick it 45 and he runs it back 35 or he scores on it, you know, come on. You got to understand that this – one thing with Brian Kelly that he's got to make big improvement on, and that's special teams overall, Blake, Now, I'm not just talking about the return game or the coverage game or the punting game or kicking game. Overall, they've got to get better there because I think there are 2-3 games every year that gets decided on special teams.
No doubt. And Mike, what happens in a game like this if it really is a 4.5-point spread and they block a punt on you? I mean, that's what legitimately turns the game around. Now, Brian Kelly has said multiple times that Ochsendorf and Todd are going to be the punter. Mike, you better get Ochsendorf out there. Forget these two punter thing, too. You know, I mean, that kid's been punting really good. So, Mike, I'm terrified of them on special teams. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, it sort of makes me sweat a little bit, too, with it. Blake, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it, bud. No problem. I know it would be a great weekend for you. And, man, we finally get to kick this off, man. Football season for LSU is here.
We'll see y'all soon. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it. Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, does a great job covering the LSU Fighting Tigers. When we come back, it'll be our triple option feature. Myself, Charlie Long, and Jeff Nowak right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTella along with Charlie Long. We're joined now by Jeff Nowak and our triple option feature. Jeff, I'm going to throw it to you first because you got some breaking news. And finally, it's happened with Brandon Ayuk.
I got stuff to talk about. Brandon Ayuk, you know, the one of the, 90 players who seems to be holding out right now. They agreed on a 4-year, $120 million contract extension, the 49ers, $76 million guaranteed. And, you know, that's one of their major holdouts. They also have Trent Williams out there holding out. We saw CeeDee Lamb holding out. He got his big deal. We saw, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is kind of holding out. Like, if you're an NFL GM, what do you do? How do you win this? Like, when's the last time you saw a star player? I don't even know if Brandon Ayuk is at the top of the wide receiver position to be holding out, but he's going to do that, and he's going to get his money because they always get their money. If you're the Cowboys, every single free agent until the end of time is going to hold out because every time it happens, they get paid. Zeke got paid. Zach Martin got paid. CeeDee Lamb got paid. Next year, this time, you're going to see Dak holding out saying, you're going to pay me. You're going to make a Parsons, right? Oh, you're going to pay me $60 million? No, you don't want to? All right, enjoy Trey Lance for a couple months, and then you're going to pay me because that's how this deal works. And I don't know how you win that scenario if you're a GM other than doing what the Saints have been doing. And this is why when the Saints agree to extensions with guys like Cesar Ruiz, Pete Werner, ahead of schedule, that's the only way you win those scenarios. You got to get that extension in before the guy feels slighted and says, I want to reset the market. It's the only way.
I was telling this to Charlie. When that broke with Tyson Campbell signing with Jacksonville, I said, Charlie, the Saints better get back to the drawing board because he set the market for the young corners. And Paulson Adebo is going to say, wait a minute, I want every nickel that Tyson Campbell got.
Once you get to the contract year, you've already lost. Like, that's why, like,
you ain't going
to
win it.
If you want a good deal on an extension, you have to extend them. It's a 4-year contract, get them going into year three. Otherwise, I don't know what you do.
It's basically the Amon-Ra St. Brown extension, isn't it? I mean, and Ayuk is, I think, kind of like, to your point, Jeff, I think he's borderline top 10. I wouldn't say he's top 5.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it.
I think that offense makes him look a lot better than he is. I think you could plug a lot of receivers into that offense and see a lot of success.
Well, we talked about it, man.
I would love to see him in Washington with Jaden. And I think he would shine with Jaden Daniels as well. So,
okay, and you got McLaurin, too.
Yeah.
Man, he takes a little bit of pressure off the fact I'm not having all that rotation coverage. And the same thing in San Francisco. You got Debo. Mm-hmm. And you got George Kittle. Okay, pick your poison. What you want to do downfield? It's not like in Kansas City. Okay, at one time when they had Tyreek Hill, that was a different story. Man, it's amazing to watch Kelce get open. Okay, well, the receivers on the other sides of him. Most people would have a difficult time. Now, today it's a little bit different because they've spent some cash and early round picks on receivers. But what Kelce's been able to do without Tyreek Hill, that's unreal.
Well, the scary part, too, is just in terms of the contract, and I'll button this up, I promise. Trent Williams is 3 years into a 6-year deal. Like, we're not talking about a guy
and he's 36 years old.
Right. And he's already getting paid at the top of his position. Like, that's crazy. I don't know, as a GM, like, and I'm all for players getting paid, but come on.
I do know one thing. They better get Trent in camp. Because if you think their offensive line is good because of one cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he knows
and
that.
And it's Trent Williams. Right. And I know it. Yeah. You know, and he knows it. Yeah, and everybody else knows it. His deal is, man, you ain't nothing. If I'm not up front protecting the backside of Brock Purdy on this deal. And so I don't know how they're going to maybe make ends meet with Trent Williams, but you better get it done.
Yep.
Guys, I'm going with some fun kind of with the White Sox. I mean, I just can't White not Sox. Talk about them. This is just one of the goofiest storylines that's been happening in Major League Baseball. For the first time in basically the 162-game history, a team has reached 103 losses before the end of August, and they lost their 104th game today. They got swept by the Texas Rangers, good who, by the that. Way, have more wins in Chicago. It's outside guaranteed rate field than the White Sox do in the second half of the season.
They should change the name to guaranteed loss field.
The White Sox are 4-37 in their past 41 games, and right now, with a 31-104 record, they're looking at history, gentlemen, but not the type of history that you want to make as a sports fan. In the 162-game era of the MLB, the worst record was the 2003 Detroit Tigers, who finished 43-119. Guys, I think we're going to see the worst team in MLB history this year in the Chicago White Sox. I think they're going to blow past that. I wouldn't be surprised if they reach 125 losses and beat it by like six games. And in all honesty, with how they've been playing, it's not out of the question that they reach 130 losses. So that's just something to keep an eye on. We talk about like we were slamming the Pistons when they were really bad and going on that extended losing streak. The White Sox had their own incredible losing streak this year. But we're looking at the wrong side of history for the Chicago White Sox this year, gentlemen. And if they finish basically August the way they did and in September the way they did the second half of the season, yeah, you could see a team with 125 losses.
Yikes. You talk about receivers getting paid and look at it. Justin Jefferson's making $35 million annually if you cut it down. CeeDee Lamb, 34. A.J. Brown, he's not only done it once, he's hit the Powerball twice, $32 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown, $30 million. Who's tied for fifth? Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk at $30 million apiece annually. So, man, that goes to show you, you know, you don't want to play running back no more. They don't pay you. You want to play wide receiver. And look at that kind of money. Jalen Waddle, he's seventh. He's getting $28.25 million a year, and Davante Adams getting $28 million. And you think about how, I think more than any position, people talk about the quarterbacks getting paid, but they always got paid more than everybody else. Look at the jump at wide receiver throughout the last 5 years. That enormous jump of money.
That's why we were talking about with Travis Hunter, Mike, that you know he may be better as a
playing receiver.
He may be better as a prospect at corner, but he's going to want to play receiver because you see these types of contracts.
Yes.
No, absolutely. I mean, you have multiple guys getting paid over $30 million annually. Like, if you would have said that a few years ago, that would have been ridiculous.
I mean, if you go back 10 years, quarterbacks aren't making even close to what wide receivers are making today.
No.
Like, the wide receivers are making quarterback money.
And that is the biggest change from a salary cap standpoint that we've seen in the last 5 years of what you've got to pay top receivers today. That's why if you got them, keep them there 3 years. Maybe think about dealing them off and then redrafting another.
Good luck
one.
Paying a top quarterback and a top wide receiver at the same time.
It's going to be difficult. That's why Tyreek Hill's in Miami.
Right.
We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long. And again, we talked about it in our last segment, but the 49ers have come to terms with Brandon Ayuk on a new four-year, $120 million contract extension. $76 million of it guaranteed, Charlie. So he can buy him a nice little car now with that.
Once again, it's basically the similar numbers that you saw with Amon-Ra St. Brown's extension with the Detroit Lions. And, I mean, I don't know, Mike. I think that...
And Jamar's going to get more than that.
Jamar is going to get more than that. Jamar's going to get closer to the CeeDee Lamb type of money and maybe even upwards of Justin Jefferson. I know that we had that discussion. He wanted to get one more penny than Justin Jefferson. But it's going to be around that number. I think Jamar is probably going to get upwards of 34, maybe 33 million per, which may not quite be what Justin Jefferson's getting at 35, but it's, you know, more than Amon-Ra and guys like Brandon Ayuk and A.J. Brown, too.
Man, those two guys, three Louisiana guys.
Yeah, how about that,
CeeDee Lamb and Justin and Jamar, top three receivers paid. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long. We're joined now by Jeff Nowak and our triple option feature. Jeff, I'm going to throw it to you first because you got some breaking news. And finally, it's happened with Brandon Ayuk.
I got stuff to talk about.
Stuff.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, you know, the one of the, 90 players who seems to be holding out right now. They agreed on a four-year, $120 million contract extension, the 49ers, $76 million guaranteed. And, you know, that's one of their major holdouts. They also have Trent Williams out there holding out. We saw CeeDee Lamb holding out. He got his big deal. We saw, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is kind of holding out. Like, if you're an NFL GM, what do you do? How do you win this? It's like, when's the last time you saw a star player? I don't even know if Brandon Ayuk is at the top of the wide receiver position to be holding out, but he's going to do that, and he's going to get his money because they always get their money. If you're the Cowboys, every single free agent until the end of time is going to hold out because every time it happens, they get paid. Zeke got paid. Zach Martin got paid. CeeDee Lamb got paid. Next year, this time, you're going to see Dak holding out saying, you're going to pay me. You're going to make Micah Parsons, right? Oh, you're going to pay me $60 million? No, you don't want to? All right, enjoy Trey Lance for a couple months, and then you're going to pay me because that's how this deal works. And I don't know how you win that scenario if you're a GM other than doing what the Saints have been doing. And this is why when the Saints agree to extensions with guys like Cesar Ruiz, Pete Werner, ahead of schedule, that's the only way you win those scenarios. You got to get that extension in before the guy feels slighted and says, I want to reset the market. It's okay. The only way.
I was telling this to Charlie. When that broke with Tyson Campbell signing right with Jacksonville, I said, Charlie, the Saints better get back to the drawing board because he set the market for the young corners. And Paulson Adebo is going to say, wait a minute, I want every nickel that Tyson Campbell got.
Once you get to the contract year, you've already lost. Like, that's why, like,
you ain't going
to
win it.
If you want a good deal on an extension, you have to extend them. It's a four-year contract. Get them going into year three. Otherwise, I don't know what you do.
It's basically the Amon-Ra St. Brown extension, isn't it? I mean, and Ayuk is, I think, kind of like, to your point, Jeff, I think he's borderline top 10. I wouldn't say he's top 5.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it.
I think that offense makes him look a lot better than he is. I think you could plug a lot of receivers into that offense and see a lot of success.
Well, we talked about it, man.
I would love to see him in Washington with Jaden. And I think he would shine with Jaden Daniels as well. So,
okay, and you got McLaurin, too.
Yeah.
Man, he takes a little bit of pressure off the fact I'm not having all that rotation coverage. And the same thing in San Francisco. You got Debo. Mm-hmm. And you got George Kittle. Okay, pick your poison. What you want to do downfield? It's not like in Kansas City. Okay, at one time when they had Tyreek Hill, that was a different story. Man, it's amazing to watch Kelce get open. Okay, well, look, the receivers on the other sides of him. Most people would have a difficult time. Now, today it's a little bit different because they've spent some cash and early round picks on receivers. But what Kelce's been able to do without Tyreek Hill, that's unreal.
Well, the scary part, too, is just in terms of the contract, and I'll button this up, I promise. Trent Williams is 3 years into a six-year deal. Like, we're not talking about a guy
and he's 36 years old.
Right. And he's already getting paid at the top of his position. Like, that's crazy. I don't know, as a GM, like, and I'm all for players getting paid, but come on.
I do know one thing. They better get Trent in camp. Because if you think their offensive line is good because of one cat.
Yeah. Well, he knows
and
that.
And it's Trent Williams.
Right.
And I know it. Yeah. You know, and he knows it. Yeah, and everybody else knows it. His deal is, man, you ain't nothing. If I'm not up front protecting the backside of Brock Purdy on this deal. And so I don't know how they're going to maybe make ends meet with Trent Williams, but you better get it done.
Yep.
Guys, I'm going with some fun kind of with the White Sox. I mean, I just can't not talk about them. This is just one of the goofiest storylines that's been happening in Major League Baseball. For the first time in basically the 162-game history, a team has reached 103 losses before the end of August, and they lost their 104th game today. They got swept by the Texas Rangers, good who, by the way, have more wins in Chicago. It's outside guaranteed rate field than the White Sox do in the second half of the season.
They should change the name to guaranteed loss field.
The White Sox are 4-37 in their past 41 games, and right now, with a 31-104 record, they're looking at history, gentlemen, but not the type of history that you want to make as a sports fan. In the 162-game era of the MLB, The worst record was the 2003 Detroit Tigers, who finished 43-119. Guys, I think we're going to see the worst team in MLB history this year in the wild. Chicago White Sox. I think they're going to blow past that. I wouldn't be surprised if they reach 125 losses and beat it by like six games. And in all honesty, with how they've been playing, it's not out of the question that they reach 130 losses. So that's just something to keep an eye on. We talk about like we were slamming the Pistons when they were really bad and going on that extended losing streak. The White Sox had their own incredible losing streak this year. But we're looking at the wrong side of history for the Chicago White Sox this year, gentlemen. And if they finish basically August the way they did and in September the way they did the second half of the season, yeah, you could see a team with 125 losses.
Yikes. You talk about receivers getting paid, and look at it. Justin Jefferson's making $35 million annually if you cut it down. CeeDee Lamb, 34. A.J. Brown, he's not only done it once, he's hit the Powerball twice, $32 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown, $30 million. Who's tied for fifth? Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk at $30 million apiece annually. So, man, that goes to show you, you know, you don't want to play running back no more. They don't pay you. You want to play wide receiver. And look at that kind of money. Jalen Waddle, he's seventh. He's getting $28.25 million a year, and Davante Adams getting $28 million. And you think about how, I think more than any position, people talk about the quarterbacks getting paid, but they always got paid more than everybody else. Look at the jump at wide receiver throughout the last 5 years. That enormous jump of money.
That's why we were talking about with Travis Hunter, Mike, that you know he may be better as a
playing receiver.
He may be better as a prospect at corner, but he's going to want to play receiver because you see these types of contracts.
Yes.
No, absolutely. I mean, you have multiple guys getting paid over $30 million annually. Like, if you would have said that a few years ago, that would have been ridiculous.
I mean, if you go back 10 years, quarterbacks aren't making even close to what wide receivers are making today.
No.
Like, the wide receivers are making quarterback money.
And that is the biggest change from a salary cap standpoint that we've seen in the last 5 years of what you've got to pay top receivers today. That's why if you got them, keep them there 3 years. Maybe think about dealing them off and then redrafting another
one. Good luck
one.
Paying a top quarterback and a top wide receiver at the same time.
It's going to be difficult. That's why Tyreek Hill's in Miami.
Right.
We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long. And again, we talked about it in our last segment, but the 49ers have come to terms with Brandon Ayuk on a new four-year, $120 million contract extension. $76 million of it guaranteed, Charlie. So he can buy him a nice little car now with that.
Once again, it's basically the similar numbers that you saw with Amon-Ra St. Brown's extension with the Detroit Lions. And, I mean, I don't know, Mike. I think that...
And Jamar is going to get more than that.
Jamar is going to get more than that. Jamar's going to get closer to the CeeDee Lamb type of money and maybe even upwards of Justin Jefferson. I know that we had that discussion. He wanted to get one more penny than Justin Jefferson. But it's going to be around that number. I think Jamar is probably going to get upwards of 34, maybe 33 million per, which may not quite be what Justin Jefferson's getting at 35. But it's, you know, more than Amon-Ra and guys like Brandon Ayuk and A.J. Brown, too.
Man, those two guys, three Louisiana guys.
Yeah, how about
CeeDee
that, huh?
Lamb and Justin and Jamar, top three receivers paid. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870.